This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's ready to talk with you about a very weird show that we somehow all got involved with. I am Rob Cisternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to our first Thursday night episode of A Big Brother 24, slated to be the first eviction episode. And I guess in some ways it was. But a newsy night all around. Taylor stays. We get a lot of news about what happened with Paloma and much more to talk about here today at this hour. Great panel with you here once again. First, let's welcome in a man who you'll hear him in the morning when it's Puya Friday, although not a live feed second to report on yet today. Puya Zambakilis here. Puya, how are you?
Rob, it's always an honor to get to come on with my father pod, Rob Cesternino. So thank you so much for having me.
Yes.
Excited to be here.
Yes. Great to have you back here with us, Puya, of course. Coming off of the kickstart to hopefully a better Married at First Sight season, of course, the great Asia Welch is back tonight. Asia, how are you?
Hey, Rob. In an unexpected turn of events, Puya and I are talking about Big Brother. We've never podcasted about Big Brother before together.
Yeah. A historic night for many reasons.
I know, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Asia, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. My dog Pepper, she turns 2 on Sunday and we're doing a party at her daycare. So I'm so excited.
All right. Let's circle back to that later on. And of course, a man who had an unexpected light day today, of course, the great Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you tonight?
I'm very excited, Rob. I'm here with my BB besties.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm ready to go.
Besties.
Okay. BB besties. More on that 1 week from tonight. A new twist around the corner. Of course, we will have plenty of coverage when we get there. But of course, a wild 24 hours. I tweeted earlier tonight, capping off maybe one of the weirdest 24-hour periods in the history of the show. The feeds were down for all through the day. Taryn had a great report, of course, this morning with Jacob Jones. But we got the word last night, or everybody else did, because I was without internet for about 14 hours. Hamster Watch had reported that it looked like Paloma was out of the house. We found out during the episode tonight that was indeed the case. We don't have a lot of details at this hour. It was cited as personal reasons in the episode into the house, but we did at least get the story tonight that she was not doing well, as many people had been reporting over the course of the week. Taryn, your reaction at this hour to Paloma being out of the house?
Yeah, I mean, I think that in terms of the Paloma situation, I feel like they did better than I expected. And I feel like about as well as they probably could have in the circumstances. I think that I mentioned this when I was talking on the stream, but like there was a lot that they could have shown that Paloma was doing to that they could have used to like make fun of her or like make it entertaining, like more entertaining or whatever it was. They didn't do that. I felt like they were a lot more respectful. They showed some things that seemed concerning and then, you know, personal reasons, I think is all we need to know. When it comes to somebody's health and the situation that they were in. And I also think they made the right call in canceling the eviction as well. So I was actually pretty pleased by the overall handling of the situation.
Yeah, I was too, because, yeah, like you said, there was hours of different footage. And I was so curious. I knew going into this episode, I was like, I am interested no matter what they show. Just I want to know what, from the production's perspective, what led to Paloma leaving. And so I was really glad that they handled it the way they did, because it was respectful, but it was also, you know, alerting people who haven't been watching the feeds or had no idea where this came from. So I thought it was interesting that they kind of threw it back to, you know, the formation of the alliances that Paloma was in, because they had to show, hey, Paloma was being a part of the game, no matter like what we showed the last two episodes, she was gaming. So I think they did, you know, a decent job.
Yeah. I mean, it's a really hard pivot because, you know, this is a show where we get presented, you know, here are a bunch of kooky characters that, you know, and the show like really does lean into, you know, sometimes laughing with the contestants, but sometimes often laughing at the contestants in terms of what we get to see on the TV show. And, you know, it's meant to be a fun show. I think it's definitely like a difficult like turn when, and I think as many people noted, like at the start of the week, it was like, ha ha ha, isn't this wacky? You know, Paloma wants to share the prize money and sort of all sorts of like, okay, she's all over the place. She's the new Frenchie. To, I think by Tuesday, people started to really start to say, okay, well, maybe should we be concerned about what's going on? And it's interesting, and I don't know if we'll ever find out, you know, exactly, you know, did Big Brother make the call? Did she want to leave? And, you know, if we'll ever, you know, Paloma will surface on social media and, you know, talk more about her experience at some later date. But that's not anything we're going to know in the near future. So that was the first part of the news for today. We had many interviews by Julie Chen Moonves, who was on a press tour today, which really Big Brother is going to own the news cycle. That's one thing. Nobody can take that away from them.
Yeah, it was
the most talked about show on television, Puya.
Rob, most talked about for sure. Listen, we had no feeds today, right? Zero feeds. Julie Chen said, I'm going to make a trend. Did a couple interviews. My God, did these interviews rub a lot of us the wrong way.
My God, I see what you did there.
I got you, Rob. I got you. It's not my first rodeo.
Yeah. Father Rob, God to you, Puya.
My apologies. BB Twitter. The phrase BB Twitter was trending today. 93.K tweets I saw today with that, with BB Twitter. That is a lot. That can only tell you what went on in this interview. And quite frankly, I had to read it twice because I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
Yeah, many different interviews. Julie did a whole press tour with, of course, the Big Brother press, with Mike Bloom, Sharon Tharp, E! News, just all over the place. And then there was then articles about the press all over the place here today. And then we finally got to the episode where then we didn't know what was going to happen ultimately with the eviction, but we actually got it all laid out for us of how this was going to go. Now, first, we found out the details of the backstage boss twist. Taryn, any surprises in terms of how this was going to ultimately play out for us tonight?
Unfortunately, not. I think it was going to play out in the one of the worst ways that I feared. You know, sometimes events conspire to prevent terrible, you know,
are you events conspiring
ruining the game?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a terrible idea. It didn't happen. I'm glad it didn't happen that way.
Yeah.
I hope that they don't decide to try it again in the future, because it's not what Big Brother is. It's not a competition to see who stays. It's a vote. That's the core essence of Big Brother.
Yeah. Asia, do you think that this would have been just a 1 week thing? Do you think that the backstage boss was going to be a multiple weeks and then they ultimately ended up pivoting off of that?
That's what I felt. I felt that whoever, because I was thinking it might be a competition and then whoever won would be the backstage boss. But if no one was going to be competing in that, then they were like, how are we going to get another backstage boss? Because we also have to have room for an HOH. So it's just like, you know, what? Scrap it. So I'm glad because it spared us, 3 weeks? They're probably going to do it for four weeks.
Because Puya, going back to the start of the season, that there was like in the press that Julie was doing preseason was like, oh, evictions are going to be totally different. You know, the marketing for the season was like, even the video a couple of weeks ago was like, oh, eviction nights are going to be a lot different now. But what about this whole situation and the way that it unfolded made them decide to retire the backstage boss also?
I mean, it's different, right? Because like ultimately, I do agree that I felt like there was going to be some kind of mechanism where, okay, we're going to keep the backstage boss in rotation. It, you know, it's BB, Big Brother, backstage boss. Like there was some linkage there. But like Taryn has said, like a lot of people have talked about, this is one of those twists where if they did it more than 1 week, people would game it and it would lead to some wild results because like they said tonight, if everything had gone according to plan, they wouldn't have been voting to evict. They would have been voting to send into the competition. And then the backstage boss sends one person into the competition. Those two had, head on. One of them survives, the other goes. And that would have been the mechanism, which would have been not Big Brother. That's a whole other show. That's a whole other show. I think ultimately it just became too complicated. I think a lot of people didn't know. I think because if it was supposed to be a mechanism for 3 weeks, right? Tell them what it is then. Why didn't they know for a whole week? Now they're going to know for the rest of it. I feel like I'm happy that that's gone now. Give me whatever the fests are going to be. They said there are going to be some fests. I will say a lot of people have come on this podcast on the internet and said, I'm not going to call a grown man pooch. If the next fest is BB Bestie Fest, I don't know if I can call it that for a whole week. That is a lot. It's a mouthful. So we'll see.
Puya, you call me your bestie all the time. I don't know why you'd be have trouble with that.
BB Bestie Fest.
Yeah, Puya, we attend the BB Bestie Fest every year. Why are you acting too cool for this?
Puya, would it help if it was the BB Bestie Festie?
hosted by
that's what we sing when we skip to the festival.
Yeah.
How did you know, Rob?
Mm-hmm. How does that song go again, Taryn?
BB Bestie Festie. Oh, yeah, we're going to the BB Bestie Festie. Puya and Taryn.
Yeah, sounds familiar.
It's
now.
Very catchy. It's
very catchy.
Bestie Fest. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So then Julie revealed to us then that we found out that Brittany won the America's vote for who was going to be saved. So I do think kudos to Chuck went up to the internet fans. This was a cause that it seemed like that they were campaigning for probably more so than the casual. So it's interesting to see that back and forth. And ultimately we find out the eviction is called off and Taylor gets to stay. And what a amazing reaction. I had to bring a smile to your face to see when Taylor found out she was not going home tonight.
Yeah. Emotional episode.
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, I really wanted them to tell Brittany, if you're going to lay out what it would have been, say what we've been doing all week too, and tell Brittany. And there was an America's vote. And had we had proceeded with the proceedings today, you would have been safe. How, you know, like that. I
leave the vote out of it. I don't need the vote.
But she, you know how happy Brittany would have been? To hear that we had voted for her to be saved. She literally thought she was just saved because Paloma left. That's it.
Yeah. Now, Puya, do you feel like that in any way, is this bad for Brittany in the same way that like with Derek X and the BB box, like, oh, America's favorite. Okay. This guy's got to go. Like, do you think it could hurt Brittany in any way?
Given where Brittany's trajectory was in this house, I could very well see them being like, that's another reason we got out. Like, it solidified our decision.
I mean, she could use anything at this point. Mm-hmm. It's not looking great. So maybe it would be bad, but maybe it would also be good. Exactly. So it would probably, if I were her, I would take it. But yeah.
The 50-50 she needs. Yeah. I will say, how many people out there, I know a lot of you out there did this, used bogus emails to submit to vote because you didn't need to verify. You just needed a blank at blank.com and you could vote. And I know a lot of people did that. So to the viewers who got what they wanted, kudos, your votes worked. Unfortunately, they didn't end up mattering and the House will never know. Yeah. So we move. We have no choice.
Yeah. And we still don't know the mechanism, though, that would have required, and tell me if I missed it, but the mechanism that would have, okay, Brittany would have been safe. Had Paloma been there, what would the mechanism have been to then determine between Paloma and Alyssa?
Who? Yeah, Julie specifically said the cast would vote, the House would vote between Taylor and Terrence.
Yes.
She didn't specify what would be the decision. I would assume, though, that Asia and Puya are correct, that it would probably be Pooch, because how would two House votes look like? What would that look like on a live show? Would they go in and say, okay, I'm voting for Taylor and Paloma, or would they go twice? Like it would just be very messy. I think Pooch is the backstage boss. I think you give him the call.
They don't get to vote after the votes have happened. They would have been like, okay, but first, Pooch, stand up, tell us which one of the two you're going to put out, and then they would reveal the votes so that it wouldn't impact the backstage pass thing.
Yeah,
potentially.
Do we have a sense what Pooch would have done in that spot? Like, had Paloma put herself in a position where that Pooch would have selected her, or based off of her past work, he would have selected Alyssa?
So between first of all, like Julie said that Brittany was the vote, but you know, if it had been Paloma, would she have said it was Paloma? Or would she have said between Brittany and
that's interesting.
Alyssa,
that's interesting.
It was Brittany.
Yeah.
So if Brittany had been available, he definitely would have picked Brittany under all circumstances. I would guess that he would also choose Paloma between Paloma and Alyssa. Mm-hmm. He was not the biggest fan of Paloma, especially over the last few days. And I think the only way he chooses Alyssa is if he really feels like he knows exactly what's going to happen, and he knows that he's picking a person to go compete against Taylor, and he feels like he needs Alyssa to compete against Taylor. But I still feel like he probably just picks Paloma to be safe. I mean, that's how we did the backstage choice in the first place, so I'm pretty sure Paloma is the person that is chosen.
And then so the interesting thing of this is then we got to see, I guess presumably, that the competition that played out in the backyard would have been the face-off between Taylor and the person from the backstage.
Yeah.
And when Taylor went, she went up against Alyssa and smoked Alyssa, including an amazing save. Maybe Taylor's second best save of the night, where she pulled herself back up. It was incredible and ultimately won that comp. So even had Taylor been voted out, as was the plan coming into tonight, Taylor would have stayed tonight in that circumstance, because I don't think that there was any way that Paloma was going to beat Taylor.
I think so. And I was going to come in saying this. I think I would go a step further and say, I think if Paloma doesn't leave last night, we have the same result tonight. I think Paloma ends up competing against Taylor, losing, and then Paloma would have been sent home tonight anyway.
Wait, it's final destination. Festination.
I mean, we talked to they talked about it this morning. The whole Inception being released yesterday blew my mind. 12 years ago, conspiracies abound. Yeah, I think so. I do think, Rob, that what happened here tonight, they reframed it, obviously, after everything that happened. This whole Heat 1, Heat 2 thing, this was supposed to be the backstage comp. And then whatever is behind that door was the HOH comp, that all they did was, well, we don't need 15 people to do that. We can just make that 7. That way we don't waste this space that we have already put aside for the backstage, is what I think happened.
I don't know. I think that maybe that door was going to be like, all right, whoever loses the comp, just exit through that door and that's it. What do you think?
Or it might have been whoever wins the comp comes through the door to compete with everybody else in the regular HOH comp, right?
I like. That's good TV.
They come back from backstage. Then now they're back in the.
I don't know the new back. Maybe the new backstage plus. But I'll ultimately throw it all away because they had to. As Julie told us, they had to rip up the script and ultimately come up with this then very weird episode here, where we're gonna watch 7 heats. This was they had all day to come up with a plan, and Asia seven heats of the race.
I legit was looking at the clock and I just was like, how? Okay, we're going about a minute. Oh, the Jasmine Terrence heat, that's going a little over a minute. So what's going to happen? You know, then it dawned on me that we're going to have to wait for the final seven to do that competition when we had 30 minutes to work with.
And they still ran out of time.
I don't know how that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is big. Like, we don't really have much of an episode to talk about. Let's just go off on tangents to fill an hour podcast, energy.
Yeah. I mean, do we need a live eviction on Thursday?
I've always been opposed to, not necessarily the liveness of it, but like everyone one by one goes into vote. It takes forever.
Yeah.
It really slows things down. So I I'm fine if they don't have the ability.
They don't have the audience there anyway. I mean, they turn the feeds off anyway, all through the day on Thursday, right? Just take the day and get it right.
And I need to say this, like, they also don't know how to operate their cameras for the competitions when it's live. I can't tell you how frustrated I was watching this, because I was actually interested in the competition. Even all through the seven heats, I was having fun with it. I'm a fan of American Ninja Warrior. I like an obstacle course. But I was so frustrated. It's unreasonably frustrated by the fact that they couldn't just have one shot of both people on the course. They had to constantly cut to these close-ups where I have no idea what's going or where they are on the course. It's literally so simple. Just one shot with both of them in it. You can see the whole thing. They even had one camera angle that was pretty decent, but they kept cutting away from it, and it was so frustrating.
I felt like I was listening to them compete, but through a podcast, because it'd be like, oh, we see this person, but oh, you fail. You have to go back to the beginning. And I'm like, okay, but where were they? Okay. Yes. Did they almost win? I'll never know.
At least half, if not more, of the heats, they'd be in the middle of that first guitar, and then it would pan out and, oh, they're on the second guitar. They're like, okay, we just skipped a bit. Like, I didn't even get to see that moment.
Yeah. I mean, this is a competition that started with.
Let's go. Let's go.
Do we go? Was that a go?
The go?
I'm not sure.
Should we go? Are we going? It's metaphor for the season.
Yeah. It's just like, it's always been an issue, but this is like the most basic form of it, where literally all you needed to do was point one camera and leave it. And that would have been miles better than what they did. Like, it was so ridiculous.
And so, again, I'm really starting to wonder if maybe the house was moved and rebuilt on some sort of a burial site this season, because we ultimately got to, all right, here comes Jasmine's heat, and that honestly I was like sort of like glazed over at this point. Who was Jasmine facing?
Terrence.
Okay, Jasmine versus Terrence. Okay, and ultimately Jasmine wins the heat but goes down hard, and ultimately we have to now break away from this, because of that Jasmine needs to be carried off of the course.
Yeah, with Julie giving a like, we'll be right back.
Yeah, and then just standing there idly, like she's recharging, just staring into space. And it was a very weird 5 seconds of TV there before they went to commercial.
Mm-hmm. Because there was a moment that Julie was second guessing if Jasmine had actually hit the ground.
Yes.
Like, did she win the heat?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that like, made it all the more awkward, because she fell and injured herself celebrating. Julie says, "You won." And then she goes, "Oh, wait a minute." And then she's like, "Oh, wait, now I can't tell her she might not have won now that she's rolling in pain."
Yeah.
And then it's just like, what do we do? And we'll be right back. We'll be right back.
I'll tell you this. I'm a big football guy, yes. AKA soccer.
Okay.
And, you know, with soccer, one of the things people love to diss on it is that when people get fouled, they overact. Okay. So I've watched the footage of Jasmine making it through the wall. The foot may have hit. If you focus on the confetti on the floor, when her foot hits the pad, the confetti goes back up. That wouldn't happen if her foot didn't touch the floor. So she gets there. She makes this landing. She's like, oh, my knee. Oh, my ankle. And like is on the floor rolling around. Julie, like you said, will not now call it out because it's like you're someone's literally you down. You're going to kick him on the down?
She flopped. Yeah.
I think it was I don't want to get the red card. I don't want to get the red card. So let me just, you know.
She took it very far, Puya.
Yeah, but in all seriousness, if her ankle's injured, like I hope her ankle's not like devastatingly bad. Hopefully,
I have some counter evidence to this.
Yeah,
the great confetti debate. First of all, because I watched both things, I watched both the foot potentially touching, and I watched the ankle roll, and boy did it roll. I do not think she was playing it up.
Yeah.
I watched the, and I did this on stream, but I close up, I zoomed in enhanced, just like on CSI.
Brittany zoom in?
I was as close as Brittany can get to a screen.
Okay.
And, it's impossible to tell from the angle we have because the camera, it's just off frame where her foot goes.
Well, Taryn, if they had left that one camera angle, Taryn, we would have had it.
Imagine that's the only shot they had.
if you zoom in a lot and you really try to look, there are a few things that lead me to believe that she probably did not touch, the ground. One is that, her leg drops about as far as it goes down. And doesn't continue to go down before the camera pans. So it reaches its lowest point, then the camera pans. It still hasn't gone any lower and she's not touching the ground. Then she comes up. You can see why she stops suddenly if you look at her whole body because she's got one leg and both arms up. You can see that her arms are basically fully extended. She's reached the pinnacle of like how far down she can even go at that point from her upper body. In terms of the confetti situation, because this is the smoking gun for a lot of people, despite the fact that we haven't seen the foot touch itself. But I would propose to you that you take a bunch of confetti, you put it on the floor, put your hand down to the floor, but don't touch your hand. Put your hand down to the floor really fast. And what happens? Confetti everywhere. The power of air.
Okay.
Rob, you need to reinvest some capital into getting one of those ESPN like screens where you can marker circles around the stuff
and we can deep dive this.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, if confetti in the air, is it fair? Like, that's my question. You know,
do we care?
Do you care? Like, do you redo? Ultimately, I think they were like, did she touch the floor? Maybe. And then they were like, we do not have time for this. Just roll commercial.
Yeah.
She wins. We move on. Because they would have had to restart, right? They wouldn't have given the win to Terrence. They would have just had to restart all over again. And my God, bless his heart. But Terrence just sat at that one guitar for like 45 seconds and was like, yeah, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to jump over this.
Asia, it's like the moment in a football game when there's like an injury on the field. And it's like, all right, and we've got a person down and it's Jasmine. And then they play like the really like slowed down music of like the NFL on Fox theme song. Like they need that for Big Brother.
Yeah. And then all of BB Twitter stood up because we were just waiting for her to get up. We were showing our respect. And then we returned from commercial. She's still on the ground.
Yes. And we returned.
Why is she? It was one leg or one ankle. Why is she not in the chair?
That's how bad it was. They're like, nobody move her. But Julie comes back and tells Jasmine this.
Jasmine, how are you doing? All right. And we have confirmation that you won. We checked tape, so stay there and celebrate that win.
Celebrate? She can't move.
I don't know what the HOH is, but if Jasmine's ankle is in a bad shape, she's going to be having a tough go of this HOH regardless.
Yeah.
I for one, cannot take a full week of Jasmine as HOH.
Samesies.
That would mean we would have to get multiple Jasmine DRs.
Period.
That's all you need to know.
Yeah, that speaks for itself.
Mm-hmm. I can't.
Yeah. I mean, could she get the Christmas scooter?
Oh.
Is it that bad?
You know what?
Get the squeaky wheel sound effect back out.
Pull it out. Get the scooter. I mean, is she like guaranteed top like five at that point? Top four?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, all right, a situation to monitor. We got down to, all right, that we're like, now we're really running out of time in all of these heats. And then for some reason, I do not understand this. It was down to, all right, Monty and Nicole, but hold on.
I know there are only two people left to compete, but Daniel, I still need you to draw to determine who goes to the green lane and who goes to the pink. And
Why?
Of all the people who would be like, oh, rigged.
Do we know how many won from the green side and how many ended up winning from the pink side? Do we have that?
Weren't they identical?
Yes, but hey, it won't lie. If six people won from the green side, then I'm like, you're onto something.
Like,
that's a good point. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, we're cutting into the 10 o'clock show.
Hold on. Chell in the chat has the real controversy here, which is that the guitars were not synced properly.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
One guitar was going it was passing by the platform earlier than the other guitar. So when both Nicole and Monty got to the platform, Monty had the chance to move on through his guitar before Nicole did because hers hadn't gotten there yet.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had green, you had the advantage. You had the leg up.
Well, they both fell off multiple times.
It was still pretty random because it could have been Nicole's that got there first. But they should have been synced, is my point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, my God. A wild night. And we're still only down to the final seven for HOH. Taryn, any interesting people in or out of the HOH competition going into the final seven?
Any interesting people out of it?
In or out of it, based on the people that we know that at least it will be somebody from, I haven't even like looked at the people that are going to be the potential HOHs.
Well, obviously Taylor being one of seven, having a 1 in 7 chance of winning this HOH is pretty huge for her. I mean, a Taylor HOH win would really potentially reshape the entire house, at least for her. There was some talk about the Monty situation because I saw a lot of people saying it seemed like Monty was throwing, because it kind of did like seem like he was throwing. He was really taking his time, on the easy parts. But the last we heard from Monty on the feeds was if Taylor somehow stays, I'm gunning for that HOH because she's got to go. And the fact that she had already won her leg, if that were still the case, I would have to imagine he was gunning for it unless. Right. Knowing that Paloma was gone and there was a much higher chance of Taylor staying, he actually spoke with her and worked something out and maybe didn't feel as threatened anymore. That's a possibility. Or he really was just trying.
Can I say that I was really hoping that Monty and Nicole were going to both just keep falling and that we were going to end the show with we have to leave. But that's it. We're out of time.
Rock and scissors, and then we'll get out of here quick.
Yeah. I mean, Julie was racing through the announcements at the end of the show. That's how far behind they were on the time.
I mean, how fun would it be, right? If you're the last two remaining, Julie's like, all right, and we got to hurry because we're running out of time. And then you quickly whisper hey, let's make this a cliffhanger, all right? Mm-hmm. Keep it going until she has to end the episode. Then we can try.
My ankle! Yeah. Both people go down.
So... Yeah. My question to the panel here is that obviously it's very evidently clear to us that this comp was that backstage comp. So that makes us assume that the HOH comp they've got cooked up was already predetermined. And if this was only going to be one heat, if it was 1v1, like Taylor versus whoever, Paloma or Alyssa, and Taylor wins relatively quick, minute and a half. We would have known who the HOH was tonight, right? So I have to assume it's a more easier comp than like a whole setup.
Well, I don't know that we would have actually, because obviously we would have had the whole process of the vote and the decision. And I think we would have ended on Taylor winning. And then I think, especially with the door, like we would have either cliffhangered, like, who's going to come through the door? Is it Taylor or is it Paloma? Or we would have seen her come through the door in the reaction. And then it would have been like, and wait until Sunday to see the new HOH competition.
So, Taryn, do you think that that tomorrow that the feeds will go down and that the HOH competition will take place on in that Friday sort of like wild card competition spot?
My guess is that they're doing it right now.
Yeah, that's what I think.
And that the feeds will come back up to an HOH winner.
The only thing that I would say is that it looks like, you know, that they would have to like have a set built for the HOH competition.
I think it's behind the door.
You think it's behind the door?
Yeah. That's what Julie said. She said behind those doors, the seven will go through those doors to the HOH comp. But the way it was laid out, it felt like the whole comp setup was the backyard. So maybe they're going to that other space where they do like the other stuff.
Because whatever the HOH competition was going to be, it has to eat up 20 minutes of. So like if it's like trivia, like you would think that like do you think they could drag out a trivia?
As long as it's not the golf one where everyone gets one stroke, I feel like they can easily get 20 minutes out of it.
It could be the one where they watch a video and then the video is like takes up a lot of the time also.
Yeah, there's also a chance that we're going to get DRs about how they felt winning their heats and stuff. That's definitely...
We're going to watch it again!
Hey, maybe we'll get the angle that they checked on the tapes. Ooh, maybe we'll finally learn about Confetti Game.
Yeah. Well, Rob, if you don't think they're going to throw sound effects on Monty falling off, Nicole falling off and having to go... Burr, like, they're going to make those noises. Yeah, that's definitely going to happen.
Yeah. Okay, for Jasmine, you better hope it's not a physical second part of this HOH.
Oof. No, do not love that for her. No. Mm-hmm.
You think they would allow her to win her heat and then go to the next part knowing it's a physical comp and say, Jasmine, due to your ankle, you can't compete.
Asia, what would they do? They can't.
That was a whole season of Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're out.
That's fair.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Should we go back to the beginning of the episode and talk through what we saw in the first half hour? Because I do think that there was some interesting things that were going on there. Of course, Juliet really dragged out the events of the night, basically like telling us that there was going to be huge news, but then just like really dragging it out. But based on what else they had, it makes sense.
They knew what they were doing. They knew what we wanted to know. They in the beginning that unprecedented events have occurred and we will be talking all about them later in the night. And then later in the night, it was like, and later in the night, we will talk to you. And then finally it came and they were like, so house guests, this is the situation. This is what would have happened in fine detail. So because of this unprecedented situation, we have determined that something has to change, and that change is that it's going to be different than what we had originally planned. And that difference is that Alyssa and Brittany, you two are safe. And
okay,
because of all the changes,
okay,
also there's another change,
okay,
which is that Taylor and Terrence, you are also safe.
Okay.
You guys really let me play that whole thing out.
Yeah.
Where's it going?
But you know, Taryn, they dragged stuff out, and then at the end of the day, they ran out of time. So that's what they get. Yeah. Some interesting things, especially from Taylor's perspective of then after the veto ceremony, where we got the diary rooms from Taylor this week of her sort of putting together the pieces of what was going on. And that for Taylor, we got to see at least like what the campaign looked like from her perspective, but also trying to figure out exactly how she ended up in this predicament.
It was really nice seeing her DR after her conversation with Paloma, because in that moment, it felt like, oh man, Taylor's going to think Paloma's the only one that was on her side in this moment, because she was so... I mean, Taylor is just a sweetheart. And so, you know, her, oh, I love you, Paloma. Like, it just came off as if, like, yeah, she genuinely was happy to have that. But then to see her say, well, wait a second. And the DR was like, okay, thank you. Yes, that's what I wanted to hear. She knew to be suspicious of that. So I was, oh, my gosh. Yeah, tough week for Taylor. Oh, I felt for her.
Mm-hmm. And... we also got to see, you know, Paloma's reaction to all of this. And again, you know, it's really hard to, you know, come on and talk about, you know, anything with Paloma at this point, because we know ultimately how the story ends for her after at the end of this week. And we don't know if she had been having effects from whatever she was going through this whole time, or if it really started to escalate as the week went on. But, you know, she is crying there and, you know, basically, you know, talking about how, you know, how terrible she feels about this predicament for Taylor, when, you know, she really was like the leading reason why Taylor ends up in this predicament.
Yeah. And it was a dramatic shift from like pre-veto to post-veto. And I think you even see it in the episode a bit. You know, there's a change in the Paloma that you saw in, you know, before the veto and the Paloma you saw after the veto.
Mm-hmm. Puya, I thought it was also very interesting that Taylor really clocks Paloma of that, like, this is off, what's going on here. Like, this is like very strange.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, it's not difficult, given that we watched the feeds as well this past week. Paloma really did play jump rope, right? One day it was this, one day it was this, 1 hour is this, 1 hour is this. And like, it kept going back and forth a lot. So Taylor having recognized that was great. And like Asia mentioned, it was nice to hear her talk about all this in the DR as well. There was that one scene, specifically, and I'm only going to call it by the Buddha scene, because that's what like sticks out immediately. Yeah. That is a scene that we talked about this right before we got on, that none of us saw on feeds. So I'm like, very curious. But then Liana was like, she was wearing the same outfit as the renom day. Like, when was this? Because I didn't see this before. Mm-hmm. And it was from that same day. That's also the same day, obviously, where Paloma had, you know, been very emotional with Taylor and was crying with Taylor. So it was a lot. It really was a lot. But I was baffled by that scene. I'm not going to lie to you. It was a lot.
Yeah, that comes in the episode. And again, stop me if this was like presented out of order, but it comes after. So then Taylor talks to Monty about what's going on. Mm-hmm. And he sort of like explains, like, oh, I guess it was like a misunderstanding of like if that's what happened. And then we see a second conversation with Taylor and Paloma. And Paloma is saying that basically Taylor wants to just sort of like talk about things. And Paloma's like, hey, look, I don't even give you know what. I don't even want to hear it. I would rather go to sleep than hear what you have to say. And Taylor's like, excuse me. And she's like, oh, is that rude? Is that rude that I said that? Am I being rude? And it's like a little. Yeah.
You're being pretty rude.
It was very, pretty rude. Couldn't even imagine if somebody told me that they'd rather go to sleep than hear what I think a lot of people do go to sleep listening to the podcast, to be fair. But you know, they're not rude about it.
Yeah, but they're not, it's not putting them to sleep, right? I had this debate with Liana where I had once told her that, yeah, I was listening to your podcast and like, I went to bed, so I'm going to finish it this morning. She was like, that's pretty rude. And I genuinely was like, no. I wanted to listen to it so bad that even though I was tired, I was listening. Yes. I happened to fall asleep.
You weren't like, I would rather go to sleep than hear Liana tell this story.
No. See, that's what she said. That is not what I was saying. I was tired. The fatigue kicked in. The podcast was on point. I just really wanted to listen to it. I didn't want to wait.
I'm with you, Puya. Podcasts were basically designed to listen to while falling asleep. That's my opinion.
I have never listened to a podcast while
you're doing it wrong.
Because I just know that I'm going to go to sleep.
Listen, sometimes
you have music. A sleep timer. You listen and then you slowly drift off as you're being, spoken to by your best podcast friends.
See, great. Sleep timer, the worst smart. Part.
Your podcast besties.
Yeah.
The worst part is you're not gonna know where to go back to though.
No, you just get sleep timer at like 15 to 20 minutes and then it's not that much. You just go back a bit. Oh, I've heard this part. Skip forward a little bit. Boom. Easy.
I couldn't. I'd have to put on a podcast I didn't want to hear. If it was like a podcast that I didn't, that would help me go to sleep. But I would get, I get too engaged. Would wake me up more.
People in the chat say, I'm doing it right now.
Doing it right now. Good night, everybody. Yeah. Good night.
Hope that pillow is nice and soft. Mm-hmm. Hope you're, nice and cozy. Yeah.
A total aside, it happens a lot. And then we also hear from people who then said that, and then they have dreams where we're in the dreams from listening to the podcast. So I know a lot of people do it. I just don't happen to be one of those people.
I have once had a dream that I was podcasting and had fallen asleep, and I woke up and I was just like, oh my gosh, I have no idea what they're talking about.
I had once dreamt that I had overslept for the live feed update, and then I woke up in a panic and it was 9 a.m and I was fine. So those are the worst ones where you really think that you're screwed but then you're not.
I have those sometimes.
Yeah, don't worry. Yeah. Those are all simulations, Puya. It's not really happening. Okay.
Good. Okay. I'm happy.
Okay. We also then got into something that I didn't really think that we would explore on such a busy night, but the girls are branching out. We got to see the formation of the unnamed alliance in the episode. Once it's like TV name, Taryn, it's official.
Yes. I think the reason they're doing this is because they just went, they spent two episodes really solidifying the girls alliance, right? The problem is that the girls alliance is all but dead at this point. The real deal is this other alliance that they just showed, which was named Mamba. But they told the house guests that they were not allowed to name it Mamba. Because of trademark copyright reasons. Mm-hmm. And so instead, they are temporarily calling it the Bleep Alliance, or as I like to affectionately call it, the Alliance.
Yeah. Couldn't they have gone with Mambo? Like Mambo number 6?
That's such a good name, but I wouldn't have wanted it for them, you know? That would have made me sad.
They don't deserve it.
Yeah, a little bit of HOH in my ride,
a little bit of Paloma.
I see. Yeah, that would have been sick. No, I guess you could say the girls alliance is now the Gone Girls alliance. Oh, that was awful. I regret everything.
I really love the delivery though.
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah, I didn't have my sunglasses here, so I was like,
if you weren't watching the video, you missed the best part.
Yeah, you went CSI Miami on us.
Yeah, we didn't have the sound effect either.
That's two fine. Separate CSI references in one podcast about Big Brother.
Yeah, what is this 2012? Like,
what really? Is happening?
Yeah.
So, all right. So the girls are branching out, and we got to see the first version of the girl of new alliance that had Pooch in it. I had heard this story from the live feed updates, Taryn, about how, do you know that Paloma, she what a baller move. She like took Pooch out of the alliance. Has Pooch asked about this alliance after it came up and then they just sort of moved on without him? They started a new group text that he wasn't in.
No, and this happens a lot, actually, that these kinds of things happen, because the thing is that you do have a lot of potential alliances brought up in week one that then people don't follow up on and then it's like too awkward to bring up ever again. Yeah. Right. Like nobody ever says like, I remember when we were gonna, it's like, no, it's too awkward. Like we didn't follow up on it. We both know that we didn't follow up on it. So the problem is that's how Pooch sees it. The reality is they ghosted him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, big time. And it's going to be interesting if we ever do get a name for this alliance, because Paloma was a pretty important piece of this alliance and did a lot of the moving and shaking for it. So do they stay together? Do they add a new person? Does it work now? We'll see.
Right. Who they do they just pick a random? They're like, oh, we lost, since they want to be so focused on the girls and the guys. Oh, we lost the girl. Let's bring in another girl. Do they do Jasmine now that she might be in a scooter? Who knows?
Yeah. Oh, I can speculate that. So Michael and Kyle had specifically talked about like, hey, if we lose Paloma, the five of us are strong. We can continue. We've got a great bond. The five of us can work together.
Mambo number five.
So it might just be a five person thing. If they do decide to bring in an extra number, the other person they were considering bringing in when they brought Michael in was Joseph. However, that would be four guys and two women. So if they were to replace Paloma with a woman, it would probably be Jasmine.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't love either outcome. I'm not going to lie to you.
Okay. No. We got to see where Michael gets brought in. He's a little wary, but he says, okay, sure. This is then when we get the return of talking about the backstage stuff where, okay, Brittany goes to Pooch. Okay. And again, kind of a savvy read that she says, okay, well, maybe the backstage boss is going to have something to do with who ends up safe. And so let me suck up to the backstage boss so that I can tell him about, I heard Amira mention his name. Plot twist, Pooch goes back and tells Amira that Brittany was throwing her name around. And Amira and Jasmine are going to interrogate Brittany, who swears on everything she did not do this.
Yeah. This was not great. You could tell even from the edited version of this just how not into the conversation Pooch was. And it's still wild to me that, like, despite having plenty of vision to see Pooch in that spot, she was not able to see that he didn't care for the conversation. She still dropped that info. And it was immediately leaked. And they left out my favorite part of the interrogation, which was even before Amira said anything about, like, I've heard a rumor floating around, Brittany just volunteering, like, well, I just feel like, you know, what if the guys, like, say, Pooch, started saying some things about us, one of us women, like, lying and trying to make us not trust each other, like, saying that maybe we threw one of each other under the bus. Like, I wouldn't want anyone to believe something like that if it happened, if that was going to happen, like, really, really just, like, gave away the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she couldn't have read that room if she had Puya's glasses.
These are blue light glasses, so she couldn't read with them if she needed glasses.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt like it was way too early in the week. She panicked. Like, she freaked just because they mentioned it in the veto meeting, and she felt like she had to do something in that moment.
We had you. We got you. You didn't need to worry. We had
well,
your
you'll
bag.
Never know now.
She'll never know.
She'll never
for
know.
3 months.
She'll never know. Okay. Brittany knew she was in a bad spot. Amira was gunning for her. Okay. So we come back, and then ultimately we get into all of the business with Paloma. Taryn, was there anything that you were surprised that we saw or didn't see here from the Paloma segment?
Not really. I think that, again, I think it was about as respectful as they could be of the situation. We saw what I had talked about the other day, which was that things really started to turn when Turner kind of like noticed that something seemed to be wrong. He spoke to Joseph about it. They both talked to Alyssa about it, and it really started spreading around the house that, like, maybe we should be really concerned about this situation. And then from there, she did just kind of vanish from the feeds for a while, and then obviously entered the diary room, never really came out. So, yeah. It, you know, that was about what it was.
So it sounds like the feeds went out around the time of the episode last night. Had she already been off the feeds for a while during the day on Wednesday?
She basically hadn't been on feeds all day. I mean, you might have caught some glimpses of her, but they weren't really showing her conversations or anything like that. And she was kind of in and out of the diary room a lot and spent a long time in the diary room before ultimately we saw the feeds go down.
So do you feel like, and I know it's hard to tell, that the feeds went down when around the time that Daniel was coming back with the news that she was gone? Or do you think that they might have been down for a while before they made that call?
That's a good question. I don't recall if Daniel had been in the diary room at the time of the feeds going down. That's something I could probably check. But I can't imagine it was too much longer after the feeds went down that they read that out. Just because, you know, they were all like up. Nobody was like dressed for bed or anything. So like, you know, I think it was probably around that time.
Yeah, they were gathered in like the bathroom and they ran from the bathroom when he came out.
Yeah, because last night feeds went on to pet cam around 11 and then maybe an hour and a half in or somewhere in like the first 90 minutes is when we got the news over
right,
on Twitter.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I could see it being a little bit longer before Daniel went in there.
Okay. Any other thoughts on Paloma here very suddenly she is out of this Big Brother game where she was really at the center of everything for the past week?
Yeah, I mean, she was running the game those first 3 to 4 days. This Mamba Alliance was her creation. She's the one, and they really kind of downplayed this in the edit, I assume, because she was about to leave. But she is the one that really pushed for this to happen. She is the one that kicked Pooch out, that brought Michael in. She obviously also was a huge part of creating the girls. She also had a lot of other alliances. Everybody really loved her in the house until, things started to turn and they got a little concerned. But prior to that moment, she was really in an interesting spot. And, you know, obviously we were all talking about like, how long can this last? I don't know that it would have. But I do think that this situation certainly caused it to, fizzle out a lot faster than it otherwise would have. I think that she definitely was on pace to have, like a really interesting run strategically in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mental health is very important. Also don't want it to be lost that when she was being very strategic and was well rested at the very beginning of the game, the things that were said about Taylor, the things that were done to Taylor. So, yes. You know, I know a lot of people on Twitter did talk about like, when is production going to do something? Like things are getting concerning, like do step in. Production stepped in. And now, you know, Paloma is getting the help that she needed after, you know, explaining to us, you know, anxiety and lack of sleep. So, I'm glad that, you know, she was pulled from the game so that she can get some help. And then, you know, they were moving forward.
Yeah. Another somewhat interesting part of this week that ultimately happened also that we had gotten some scheduling that, okay, Big Brother Exit Press was going to be on Fridays, of course, as it normally is. We were set up. We'll have Big Brother 24 Exit Press once again this season. We got word that the Exit Press was actually being pushed back from Friday to Tuesday. I don't think that anybody ever really got a sense of why that was going to be. Of course, then we are assuming that there will not be any Exit Press with Taylor. So we will wait a week before we have Exit Press with the next person to come out of the house back in its normal spot on Friday.
Yeah, I guess at this point it was probably just a coincidence that the scheduling was to Tuesday. I don't think that they were like, well, because we know Paloma's leaving, we'll because I agree. I don't think we're talking to Paloma on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think probably just a coincidence there. But it definitely is a little strange.
It's interesting because that with Survivor, sometimes they obviously they know the person who's going to be voted off, that it might be like, okay, oh, this person has a thing on this day, or this person has a flight on this day, so okay, we're going to move things around. But not knowing who it would have been based on a competition, it did seem odd that they moved that they were moving it. But you know, it might be just one of those mysteries that we never get to know.
Yeah.
Okay. From a scheduling standpoint, on our end, Friday morning, of course, you know, Taryn and Puya will be back with the live feed update. Maybe we'll have an HOH. A lot to talk about for sure. For the Patrons of Robinson podcast, Taryn and I will be back with the BB Q&A. That's our patron-only show where we take your questions and talk about everything that's going on. We'll be doing that at 3 p.m. Eastern on Fridays. So be on the lookout for that. And if you want to join us, of course, robswebsite.com/patron.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Should we take some questions from the listeners of RHAP tonight?
Let's do it.
Okay, nice. Of course, robswebsite.com/BBQuestions is the link if you want to send us questions for any of the live shows. Julie's Awkward Pause asks, which was the most messed up twist? Backstage or Jasmine's ankle?
Oh, yeah.
Put the glasses on. Yeah. okay. All right. What else we got? All right. Heather P says, if Taylor doesn't win HOH, do you think her and Terrence will be not? Well, I think it would very much depend on who the HOH is. But I guess let's just explore what is the likelihood Taylor goes back on the block this week?
All right. I think we can look at who is still competing. And we have to base this on the last time we saw them again. If Monty has like made a deal with Taylor or something like that, since the feeds have gone down, then that could change things. But I do think that Jasmine would probably target Taylor. I think Monty would target Taylor. Kyle, I don't think would necessarily be inclined to target Taylor himself, but through the influence of Monty might end up doing it. Again, for fear of her coming for Monty, potentially. Let's see. Who did
Joseph.
Amira? Joseph.
He gets influenced by Monty, right?
Yeah, he probably also, again, Monty has a lot of influence here. So Joseph would also, if Monty is still gunning for Taylor, would also probably go in that direction. Again, though, wouldn't really, I think, be personally inclined to go in that direction. No. But if Monty influences him. And then, was it Amira? Did Amira win
Amira
a leg
beat,
as well?
Brittany, yeah.
Yes. So Amira,
goes Brittany
is a little more interesting because there's Brittany as a target. There's Pooch as a target that she's discussed. Taylor would still be an option for her. She's never been the biggest fan of Taylor, but I don't know if she's like at the top of the list there. So that could be interesting. And then Michael, also an interesting option here. I think he would be inclined to go for Pooch, for sure. But again, influence of the Mamba Bleep Alliance. If Monty is really trying to push, you never really know. I think there are some options there for her to be okay. And again, there may have been more that happened while the feeds were down.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot more room for things to have changed while the feeds were down since they did not have to practice voting. Or maybe they did. And just to... it was a surprise. I don't know.
Yeah. But. Well, because they must have speculated this might mean that the eviction is canceled. And if I'm Monty and I think that Taylor is coming for me, if she stays, I'm going to talk to Taylor and try and settle it, knowing that she has a very good chance of staying at this point. Granted, he's already done that and he just doesn't trust that it's settled. But I guess I would assume that he would try harder. But who knows?
I just don't trust Monty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Taylor winning the HOH would be like the classic Big Brother story of the week one nominee coming off the block and winning the HOH. That would be, you know, peak Big Brother.
Yeah, no, you referenced it earlier, but her reaction to her staying, I was a part of the camp all week that was like, get Taylor out of that house. Just get her out of the toxicity. Let her not have to deal with that anymore. But the joy she had and tears that she had of just like relief and just so happy she wasn't going home. It's like, if you want to be there, I want you to be there.
She wants it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give her the shot. Now she had her game face on. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. I mean, it's talk about what would Janelle do, right? Win that HOH. Just also something I remembered is that not only did Monty seem like he didn't have a ton of urgency in the HOH competition, but also I noticed when it was announced that the Taylor Terrence vote was canceled, you know, Terrence and Monty like really celebrated hard. Now, obviously that, you know, Terrence was safe, but Terrence was already going to be safe. And, you know, they both kind of wanted Taylor gone. So, you know, would they have been that happy? I don't know, unless they had already figured something out. But again, that's who knows.
Okay. Question from Avery about how will the current alliances change with Paloma's exit? We talked through the Mama / Bleep alliance. Are there any other major alliances that Paloma was a part of?
Because of the situation over the last few days, things have kind of, people have already kind of prepared for a lack of Paloma. I don't think it will shift things too much. I don't think it'll make any major changes. I think the Bleep Alliance is the biggest one if they decide to replace Paloma. Other than that, things have kind of moved on already.
Okay. This is a question from Hunter Long. Was tonight's episode actually live? No live banner. I saw that Hamster Watch had noticed that as well today. No live banner. Do we think that this is the only thing I'll say. If this wasn't live and they had a chance to sort of clean this up, you know, what are we even doing?
Yeah, that's what I said. I did see a live banner, though.
At one point, it came on. I think especially that ending, there's no way that ending isn't live, given how much urgency and Julie's at the end. Just like, all right. And remember, we're going to start by asking, sorry, bye. Yeah. Like, it was very much like you're rushing through it. So I think it was live at the end at the very
end. Right. Also, we do have a precise accounting of where Julie was all day based on all the interviews that she was doing. So this wasn't like that they were filming Big Brother at, 11 a.m. this morning.
Yeah.
Julie was, very much, giving interviews and following reactions to interviews, seemingly. So, busy day for Julie Jen Moonbits.
Yes.
For sure.
What was her sign off tonight?
Love one another.
Love. Okay.
Yeah.
Love one another. Yeah. I mean, Julie was talking quite a bit today about what it's like for the house guests. Talks about giving more grace to the house guests and what a pressure cooker it ultimately ends up being, and certainly got some pushback from the Twitter community about that.
Yeah, I mean, she did call them hypocrites, so she pretty much came right for them.
Yes. Okay. Anything else about tonight's Big Brother? Or the day in Big Brother?
I mean, it was interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was interesting. And I want to also thank our audience here live. This is the biggest live audience we've had for any podcast ever on Rob's podcast.
Awesome.
Almost 7,000 people here with us live after the episode. So really, yeah, thank you to everybody here. It's an hour later, so I appreciate everybody staying up late with us and joining us. And of course, make sure to hit the subscribe button and join us every time. Robinswebsite.com/BB24 for the podcast link as well. So,
Hey, we're almost at 100,000 subscribers on YouTube. If everyone here subscribed right now, we'd almost get there. If
you the plaque is coming, Rob, the plaque is coming.
We got a spot for it behind us. Yes. Yeah. Asia, anything else about, the day in Big Brother?
I'm ready for the feeds to come back. I had gotten so accustomed to the feeds all day, every day, that the feeds being off was kind of weird today. Not going to lie.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, do we think at all, is it possible that maybe there is a little bit of a reset in the house without Paloma, Taylor stays? Is it possible that we could be potentially starting a new season of Big Brother today?
If only.
I could hope, but with what these people have, the things that have come out of their mouth so far, what we've witnessed, I was like, literally my first thought was when I heard that Paloma was gone, I was like, they are going to find a way to think that if Taylor had never, quote unquote,
it was Taylor's
lied,
fault. Yeah.
Yeah. That this had some, like, oh, she would have never had to be so stressed and stayed up all night if Taylor hadn't lied to Monty.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope that's not the case.
Mm-hmm. I think we can all agree. Best case scenario is that Taylor wins this HOH.
Yes.
And like that would definitely help reset the current sort of like social standing in the house, which would be, I think, a very good thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think, yeah, you know, a lot has been said this past week about how the first HOH sets the tone for the rest of the season. These last couple of seasons, the live movement has caused the HOH, the first HOH to have 1 week of rain, and the older ones had a couple, you know, longer rain. I feel like everything that happened this past week, combined with whoever wins the HOH, 100% we could see a whole new season before our eyes. But also within those seven, there are some people who, if they win, we could potentially see the same season that we saw last week continue. Yeah. So it's in the air right now. Tonight's feeds are going to answer a lot of questions. And I'm excited. I'm scared. I'm nervous. All the emotions. But that is what makes it a Big Brother season.
I also wonder on this day with no live feeds, I wonder if maybe there might have been some other discussion had with the house today. And I think that the clue will be if like there's any discussion about what happened today, if we cut from the feeds about any discussion about what was going on during today.
I would hope so. But again, going pessimistic here, given Julie's responses to these interviews today, you know, if that's in any way reflective of how the producers are feeling about the show, which I have to imagine it's got to be pretty close, I don't think they see much wrong with what's happening in the house right now. So I don't even know if they would think that they should speak to the house guests, let alone what to say if they did.
The only thing that I would say is that just because Julie may not be in the loop on what's happening doesn't mean that it could, you know, that it seems like that we've read a bunch of interviews like that Julie doesn't even know what the twists are going to be. From
certainly possible. Yeah. It just her point of view seemed very aligned with how they edited the show, which makes sense because right. She's probably watching those episodes. But also like she gets her information, I assume, from production. So I mean, again, like knowing that Julie's doing interviews, if I'm production, I'm going to make sure she knows the relevant information or at least what I think is relevant information. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Let's talk a little bit about what is to come here on the podcast. And of course, we are going to be back with the BB Q&A for the patrons on Friday. In addition to Taryn every morning, we will be back on Sunday night for a recap of the Big Brother episode where we will find out about the new HOH on the show. Be sure to join us then and make sure you're subscribed to the podcast to not miss a beat. Okay. We had a great conversation with Azza from BB23 and The Challenge yesterday and was a lot of fun. We did that during the day. We were live with the patrons of Rob is a Podcast and dropped the podcast yesterday. And Azza had a lot of great commentary about everything that was going on in the house, in addition to her own experience. I really recommend you check out our conversation with Azza up at robinswebsite.com. Got the chance to watch a really fun new show. It's called Claim to Fame. It's on ABC, and Jenny Autumn and I watch the premiere because we often enjoy talking about terrible reality shows. The twist was This was actually really good. Puya, it was giving Masked Singer.
Yes. So I heard the positive reviews, not only of the podcast, of course, but also like the show is good, ? I believe you tweeted something like that potentially. So I checked it out. I thoroughly enjoyed myself. The pacing was good. It was about 45 minutes. It wasn't too long. It was funny, dare I say.
Yeah.
Who knew?
There's Taryn, a new show in town. I'm not sure it would be for you. You have to not only know who celebrities are, but you have to then try to guess who their relatives are.
I mean, I'm a celebrity expert. I don't know why you Rob, don't think you, I'd be into
did you
that.
Find out today? Taryn does not know who Aunt Becky is.
I learned two shows that Taryn has never heard of this week: Full House and the Today Show.
I'd heard of the Today Show. I just never watched it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I've also heard of Full House.
Okay,
I just haven't heard of.
Somebody was asking me that in the off season, could we get Taryn to recap an episode of Full House? I mean, it's about people living in a house. I mean, it's like
if you like the show, you probably won't like my commentary. Warning.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll like it. Mercy, Taryn. Okay. All right. Then last night, the Challenge USA was back. I had an exit interview this morning. Brian Cohen joined me to talk to the latest pair that was out on the Challenge. I won't say who that was in case you didn't see the episode, but interesting.
You've been living under a rock.
Yes. Interesting exit interviews as well. I will have exit interviews all season long on the Challenge USA as well. And then be sure to join Brian and Allie for a full recap of the episode. And that's in our Challenge podcast feed. Go to robiswebsite.com/challenge feed for that. Of course, Puya joined us this week over on Nothing But Netflix to talk about a little show called How to Build a Sex Room. Okay.
A what? Sorry, what?
Like a bonus room.
A bonus room? What's a bonus room? What are you doing there?
Extra room.
A pleasure manor.
Yeah, kind of like, you know, in that, like the seasons that they had like a secret room in the Big Brother house.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then like April and Ollie would go into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I gotcha. All
right. Yes. But this is kind of like if like Jackson and Holly went into it.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Stool or no stool?
Yeah, stool. Many stools. Yeah. Chappelle and I got to talk about that show, and Puya joined us over on the latest Nothing But Netflix.
I had a good time.
Yes.
Surprisingly, very well put together show. I was expecting it to be a lot more we're joking about it, but I was like, they really, they did something
serious.
With this.
Take it serious. Okay. All right. Puya, what happened this week on 90 Day Fiancé?
A lot happened, Rob. We are still in the middle of this season. We're getting closer to the end. There was a lot of fun storylines that occurred. Liana came back with me for second week in a row to talk about it all. This week, Rob, was a big week in 90 Day Fiancé because the cast for Happily Ever After, the next season of 90, got released this week.
Yeah.
I am not ready. It's going to be a lot. So stick around with me. I will be talking about that, of course. And I've been covering Love in Paradise at the end of the 90 Day podcast. So you have that coverage too. A lot going on Hot Mess Express.
All right. Be sure to check that out in our wrap ups feed or go to robinswebsite.com/90day feed. And then Asia, I know it's a brand new season of Married at First Sight, and you and Jason are back.
Yes, we are back to talk about season 15. It is in San Diego. Never heard of it. These people meet their spouse.
That's where Taryn lives, Asia.
Yeah.
Can I be on this show?
Well, you have to meet a stranger at the altar and get married to them. So if that's
how permanent is this marriage?
Only 8 weeks long, and then you can
at minimum
tie it up.
Easy.
Most people do. They
that's shorter than a Big Brother season.
Exactly.
I mean, that's kind of like how Taryn is with the Big Brother cast. It's like, oh, you never saw these people. Now you're married to them. You live with them every day.
you spend more time with the Big Brother cast than these people. Yeah, spend with each other. But yeah, it's already off to a good start. We're on episode 2. That podcast episode is out. We recorded it couple hours ago. We are having a good time talking about it. You don't even have to watch the show to enjoy the podcast. So just go check it out on the Love at First Sight feed.
Yep. Join Asia and Jason every week. Go to robinswebsite.com/MAFS feed, right?
Or First Sight feed.
Or First Sight feed.
I think both work.
Both will work. Okay.
And I make a suggestion to change it to Quick MAFS. I feel like that would be great. Asia, you get the reference, Asia?
I
should have muted. Oh, I regret everything. Mm-hmm. It's the wrong panel for this. Big shot. Okay. All right. Okay.
And of course, you can get even more Big Brother coverage of everything in BB24 when you become a patron of Rob as a Podcast. I kicked off the slop this week with Jenny Autumn. We'll be back again on Monday for more slop. That'll be live for the patrons on Monday night. I told you about the call-in show with Taryn on Fridays, not to mention everything we do with the patron 5 for 5 and our patron community. That's all at robinswebsite.com/patron. All right. And of course, make sure you subscribe to Rob as a Podcast. robinswebsite.com/subscribe for links to all of the shows that we're talking about. Really appreciate everybody who has subscribed here early on RHAP and Big Brother were in the top 5 after shows over in the Apple Podcast store this week. So thank you so much for that. All right. Puya, anything else coming up for you?
Currently, other than the podcast we've highlighted, no on that front, but you can find me on Twitter at Puyaism for anything that comes up there. I am live on Twitch 2-3 times a week. I host a weekly lobby where I get a bunch of our friends here, some on this panel even, and we play Goose Goose Duck on Sundays. It's Big Brother season, so we will be playing at 2 p.m. Eastern for the Sundays this summer. And yeah, we have a good time, so check us out. Come through. Say hi, of course.
Okay. All right. Puya, great having you back here tonight. Asia, anything else coming up for you?
No, that's it. Just talking about Married at First Sight on that Love at First Sight feed. Y'all could also find Love is Blind coverage and The Ultimatum. So Mary Kukowski and I covered both of those shows. So definitely go check that out. Subscribe to the feed and can get all these like weird marriage love shows in one. Just follow me on Twitter at Asia Like Asia, A-Y-S-H-A, like A-S-I-A.
Okay. Asia.
Oh, and then Pepper's Party.
Yeah, so I was going to say, are we going to get any pictures this weekend? Should we follow on Instagram to make sure we get the updates on the party?
You know, I'm Asia Like the Continent on Instagram, but if you don't want to go over Instagram, I will post some of her party pictures on Twitter as well.
Is there a theme?
It is. It's Pepper's Pool Party.
Okay. Pool Fest?
Pepper's Pool Fest.
Pool Fest. Pool Festy.
Okay.
But she has a bikini that my mom, her grandma, you know, bought her.
I hope it's tasteful.
Yeah. I hope she's not going to be flaunting.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Or anything.
She's not going to be hanging out with all the guys and sitting on pool tables.
She's a girl's girl, right?
She's a girl's girl, yes. Okay.
All right. And then, Taryn, what is coming up for you?
Well, of course, there will be an update tomorrow morning because we do expect some feeds tonight. And even if there weren't feeds tonight, we would go live tomorrow morning.
Less than 12 hours away.
Of course.
I hope you have the coffees on.
Listen. Yeah. Got my Bang energy drink I'm banging out right now.
Bang.
I warned him about Bangs. Those are so strong. So Puya might be awake until the update.
Asia, if the feeds come on and they're great, I will brew a coffee after this. I'm not kidding.
Oh my God.
We'll see.
This is what Puya does to himself. We need to stage an intervention at some point.
Listen, I did a 24-hour stream. I'm built
more
for this.
Nuggets, for this. Less caffeine. That's what we need.
That'll put you to sleep. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would take the longest nap. Like it would definitely, I would not be able to watch feeds at that point. Mm-hmm.
Well, you can also find me, of course, on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, watching the episodes live with all of you. In particular, if you did not catch my stream tonight where I watched the eviction episode where there was no eviction, then you may have missed the investigative journalism. Yeah. That I did at the end of the stream to really get to the real truth about ConfettiGate. Not the truth that they will tell you about, but the real truth.
Yeah.
Find it there.
Taryn's blowing up the footage, okay?
Mm.
All right.
Truth is out there. We'll set you free.
Yeah. Thank you all for joining us. This was a really fun recap of the episode tonight. Hope you're all doing great, and we will see you again soon. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.